Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. We're live on the air and online, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important in your life right now. So we've opened those phone lines, and again, the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Did you guys have a wonderful 4th of July celebration?
Absolutely did.
Gosh, it's a great day in America, yeah. Isn't it? Just the fireworks and just the celebration of this way of life that we experience here in the United States. It's a life of freedom. We have been granted so many freedoms by our Constitution. Actually, the Constitution is just recognizing freedoms that we have given to us by God. Absolutely. And that's what we want to talk about for the rest of this month, is the freedom that we have in Christ. And this week we're going to take a look at the Exodus story and really tie that into this gospel message that sets us free as individuals. I think what we read back in the book of Exodus and all that God did for the people of Israel in freeing them from Egyptian control really is the backdrop, is the backstory for the gospel message. I think Paul actually uses that to write much of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, for example. I think that's just a rewriting of the Exodus account for us individually and the freedom that we have in Christ. So that's what we're going to talk about somewhat this week, and really bringing it down to kind of everyday life. How do we live in freedom? And I just want to read a quote from Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And you know, the Israelites had been under Egyptian control for 400 years.
Yes.
And, you know, we kind of know the story of the 12 selling, or the 11 selling Joseph into slavery and his rise to power in Egypt, and how he used his influence to bring his brothers and their families to Egypt to survive a famine. And how that was God's blessing in their life. But it turned out that as they grew in number, the leadership in Egypt said, hey, we've got a workforce. And they quickly put them under bondage and enslaved them to this Egyptian way of life. Well, God raised up Moses to be the deliverer, to be the one to lead them out of Egypt into the promised land. Now, Moses wasn't so sure he was the right choice. He questioned God on that, and he asked, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. Our hope of freedom is not pinned on our execution of a plan. Our hope of freedom is pinned to Jesus Christ himself, just as their hope of freedom was pinned to God. So let's stop right here. So here the Israelites, they were under slavery for 400 years, and their world was about to be rocked. God's power and presence were about to sever them from the only life they had ever known. Now, isn't that true of us? Mm-hmm. Before we come to Christ, there was only one life we had ever known, and that was a life of enslavement to sin and death. We were ruled by the prince of this world. We were controlled by the way of this world. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. That was our way of life. And now in Jesus, he's going to rock our world. He's going to take us from that. He's going to rescue us from that place and move us into a brand new kingdom. So God's power and presence were about to sever them from the only life they had ever known. And every step they would soon take would be a step into the unknown. They lived in slavery. They were about to be free. All they knew was Egypt. They were about to cross that river into a promised land. Everything about this new way of life was new from start to finish. Granted, they were sick and tired of Egyptian oppression. They wanted to be free, but to experience freedom, everything had to change. That's the same for you and me. If we truly want to experience our freedom in Christ, everything has to change. We truly have to let go of that old so that we can grab hold of the new. But here's the rub. So many Christians want to bring a little bit of the old, all the goodness of the old life, into this new life and blend it together. And what happens is not freedom. It's just more bondage and a deeper sense of bondage and a more subtle sense of bondage. We need to totally let go so that we can allow Christ, His presence, His power, to lead us into freedom.
Friends, would you like to join the conversation? We'd love for you to do just exactly that. You can call right now because we have plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. Again, it's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Bob Davis. Again, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, and we'd love for you to join the conversation. Come in and be a part of it right now. We're on the air live, so you can do just exactly that.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Dorothy, listening to us on WFIA. Dorothy, welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you. I enjoyed your message that you just now gave. That was real, real interesting, real inspiring.
Well, thank you, Dorothy.
I have to tell you some good news. I've been born again, and I have a new lease on life, and I believe I'm saved. And I'm very excited. And well, my faith is small, but I hope it will grow.
Well, Dorothy, that's not just good news. That's just fantastic news. And we rejoice with you.
Absolutely.
It's an incredible thing to be born again of the Spirit of God. It's not just a prayer that we pray. It's not just, some rote rituals that we go through. It's actually God making us alive together with Jesus. That's what new birth is all about. And Dorothy, as far as your faith is concerned, as you keep your eyes on Christ, that faith is going to grow. He's the author and finisher of that faith. And boy, I am just so excited for you, Dorothy. And God bless you for calling to tell us your good news.
Yes.
We rejoice with that.
Yeah, give us a chance to celebrate with you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bob. I want to tell you something else, if you don't mind.
Okay.
We're going to have to move, and right now we don't have a place to go. So things are real uncertain right now. I have a husband, and he has COPD, and he's not a believer, so that gives him a lot of anxiety because he's not sure about his afterlife. And he reads a lot of different kinds of material. And so we're just in kind of an uncertain stage right now, but I'm just trying to trust God that things will work out.
Well, Dorothy, he's made that promise that all things will work together for good. Sometimes we can't see that. We're not sure how that's going to happen. But God is actively at work on your behalf. You can count on that. And Dorothy, there may be listeners tuned in right now in the Louisville area who are wanting to respond, wanting to reach out and help you. And if that's the case, if you're a listener in Louisville, Kentucky, or the surrounding area, and Dorothy's circumstance has touched your heart in a way that you would like to help she and her husband, we invite you to call and just let us know that.
Yes, please,
and see if we can put something together and see what God does in this, Dorothy. So thank you for sharing that need with us. Thank you for sharing your good news about being born again. And Dorothy, we'll wait to see what God does, okay?
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Bob.
Okay, Dorothy. Thanks for your call.
That was
God
good
bless
news.
You.
Very good news.
It's great news.
Yeah.
Great news. Yes, indeed.
844-322-2742. That's a toll-free call. I want to hear from you. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Plano, Texas, and talk with Daryl, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Daryl. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, I was really shocked yesterday when I went to my church. It's a Methodist church, and, Methodists are pretty easygoing people. And the pastor brought up the gay marriage thing, and, the Supreme Court or Congress, whatever, the vote on gay marriage. And she said that she was actually for it, and that she would abide by the Methodist doctrine or whatever for now and not marry gay people. But she, and it just struck me wrong and a lot of other people that, come on, it's in the Bible. That's a really bad sin, and people, we shouldn't be backing it up. It's a worldly thing.
Well, Daryl, the Word of God is very clear that marriage is between one man and one woman. That's the way it was from the beginning, and nothing has changed, and nothing will change. The U.S. government, the Supreme Court, can make all kinds of declarations, but those declarations, those laws do not change what the Word of God has to say. So what I would do in your situation, Daryl, is you've heard a shocking piece of information from the pulpit. She probably gave some explanation as to the whys and wherefores. If I'm in your shoes, I sit down and talk with her and find out more of what she really believes and what she is saying and where she wants to move the congregation as far as a belief system is concerned. And one of the big questions, Daryl, is to ask, what is authoritative as far as your belief system is concerned and the belief system of this church is concerned? Is it the Methodist Church, or is it the Word of God, or is it something else? Because the Word of God really is where we're going to find truth. If we're going to form and shape kind of our thinking as far as everyday life, as far as life within communities and states and nations and that sort of thing, we have to go to the Word of God and see how we're to live as children of light in this world of darkness. So I would ask her what her standard of authority is. Where does she go for truth? We can have all kinds of opinions. Those opinions can be shaped by current media and those sort of things. But in the long run, we need to let the Word of God shape our thinking on all issues. So that's what I would do if I'm in your shoes.
Yeah, I would totally agree. She said that she did not see anything wrong with it because if two people love each other.
Well, again, whether two people love each other or not is not the definition of marriage. The definition of marriage is two people getting together to be fruitful and to multiply. It's part of God's creative order. It's just the way He established things. So just because two people say they love each other doesn't mean that marriage needs to be redefined. I think a lot of the push was for, quote, civil rights, the privileges that married people get as far as the government is concerned, tax benefits, being able to make decisions on loved ones and some of those sort of things. I think some of those issues could be addressed without having to redefine biblical marriage or marriage in general. And it's not that biblical marriage hasn't been the standard for all cultures at all times and all places. There hasn't been a culture in society that didn't define marriage as one woman and one man.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome, Daryl. Thanks for your call. And, it's one of those issues we're all going to have to address, isn't it?
Well, I guess. I mean, I've got two gay children, and I don't approve of them. And, you know, I love them, but I don't approve of their lifestyle. And I'm definitely not for gay marriage. I know where this is headed, and I think people need to wake up and check the clock to see what time it is.
Good words, Daryl.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call. And, you know, I really appreciate Daryl's comments. He's not coming out of this within a vacuum. I mean, yeah. this whole issue has affected him in his own family.
Right.
And yet you don't want to compromise what truth is. Because if you compromise truth, then you have nothing to offer. Mm-hmm. You have absolutely nothing to offer. Well, Daryl, thank you for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and talk with Craig, listening to us on the Internet today. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Bob. Hey, I have an ongoing question. It's been an ongoing battle. I've spoken to you guys before a few years back, and it's concerning my own salvation. I'm continuing to struggle with, I hate to even say the word struggle, but I get down and depressed at times, and it seems to me like I set aside the Word of God to seek solace from the world in drinking and I hate to say it, fornication. And it's been ongoing. I'm convinced I was born again, and yet how can I continue in these? It's random. But this whole, I don't even know how to describe it. I'm just so tore up. And then, you know, I read scriptures. You know, I'm familiar with Romans 8, but then I question, was I truly born again? When I do engage in these behaviors, and it's, again, it's random, but, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question, Craig. When you engage in these random behaviors, whether it's alcohol consumption or whether it's sexual immorality, are you feeling on top of the world, or are you feeling down in the dumps when those things happen?
Almost suicidal.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
I cry out to the Lord. I can't even express the torment that I go through afterwards. I don't know if torment's the right word, but the regret is just overwhelming. And
well, the regret is overwhelming indeed. But even before you make the choice, you know, a lot of times we move ourselves down kind of this spiral that leads toward self-pity. You know, life just isn't working out the way we want it to work out. Maybe we've had a financial reversal. Maybe we feel isolated. Maybe we feel alone. There's all of these things that are going on circumstantially. And we start responding to those in a negative way until we drive ourselves to this point of self-pity. And in that pool of self-pity, we become very vulnerable to the temptations of this world. And as a matter of fact, we start saying things like, well, I deserve a little pleasure in life. I deserve a little something in life. For me, that's when I would go out and charge things on a credit card. And, you know, I deserve something to make me feel just a little bit better. And, you know, a $500 golf club, or, you know, that's going to make me feel a little better. Of course, that just frustrated me even more. I couldn't hit that one either. But we get down in that pool of self-pity. And that's where we're going to have to start recognizing that we become very weak when it comes to the things of sin. We put ourselves in sin's pathway, so to speak. And before you know it, we're giving in again, and it feels like random stuff. But actually it's the random choice is really a culmination of a lot of things that led us to this point of self-pity.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, it does, Bob, and you know the attitude you're talking about. They do begin to get bigger and loom larger. This has been an ongoing thing. You know, I don't know necessarily. It's not a, you know, I don't plan any of this and so on, which I think you already understand. But you know, I just can't. I have such a hugely difficult time with, you know, for example, Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to, if you can help me out with the rest of it, you know, the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. It's just this.
So you're sitting there thinking, well, I must not be one of those who's walking after the Spirit. So,
right. I you know, and then I read the parable of the Jesus gave the parable of the four soils. You know, and you know, I understand Jesus taught under the law.
Well, Craig, here's the deal. What you're doing in that is focusing on you, right? So.
Okay.
You know, every time we start to focus on us, we always pick out the negative things that we do, and that begins to shape our thinking at that particular moment. So if you say, well, obviously I'm not one walking after the Spirit, I must not be saved, you're going to start feeling like you're not saved. And
right.
That verse that says there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, you say, that doesn't apply to me. That's not me.
Exactly what happened.
I'm not one of those. So we have to step back and say, okay, what has Christ done? And that's where our assurance is going to come from, when we look to Christ and all that he's accomplished on our behalf. So we have to stop kind of looking at all of our defeats and judging our position and status before God based on our defeats, because if any of us did that, we would all stand condemned, wouldn't we? We can't be perfect. We can't live up to all those standards. So we have to look to Christ Jesus to find assurance of our salvation. Well, Craig,
yeah.
What I want to do, I think I've got a resource that may help you. It's called Living Life on the Edge. It's a CD series, and it really hits this struggle that we have with temptation and how we get ourselves into that pool of self-pity. And I think if you will listen to that, it will give you some solid practical handles on how to keep from moving all the way down into that area of self-pity. And then if you do, to give you some good practical steps to take that can help you say no to those temptations and move you in a different direction.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that, Bob.
Okay, you hang on, Craig. We'll get that to you as quickly as we can. Thanks for your call.
Just a reminder, friends, that there are many resources in our store that can aid you toward a better understanding of the Christian life and toward growth and maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can peruse them when you visit store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. Also, if you like Basic Gospel, if this program has been beneficial to you, be sure to download our app. It's available now in the Apple App Store. With it, you can listen live, you can catch up on the radio archives, you can read the blogs, watch our videos, and of course it works on iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android. We invite you also to visit basicgospel.net and join our email list. Just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of the website at basicgospel.net. Also, friends, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. You know, your prayers and gifts keep the love of the Lord Jesus Christ on the airwaves and online. Please join us and keep the good news coming. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. A gift of $15 or more will get you a copy of Bob Christopher's brand new book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and we encourage you to do that. Many, many have, and we hope you'll join that number as well. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net, or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.